Beyond Bites. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. Happy New Year to everyone. And thank you for joining me once again. So today we're going to be talking about why you keep failing your technical interviews. Now, recruiting season is almost over. A lot of companies have already closed off, and but there's some few companies that are still hiring. You know, and let's just start off by saying there's nothing more painful than finishing a technical interview. And, you know, during the process, you're telling yourself that you got this, and then you receive that email or call from a recruiter, and you find out that you will not be moving on to the next step, right? And this is so painful, right? And let's face it, this email and call doesn't feel great, as I've been saying, even when you know that you'll be getting rejected. Technical interviews are really tough, especially when you do them for the FANG, and it takes a lot of time and preparations to ace them, right? So when you don't get, you know, accepted and you get rejected, it's really disheartening. And I know this feeling all too well, because I have been rejected more times than I can count, most definitely more times than I can count, you know. And even though rejections are hard to deal with, I think it's a good idea to assess ourselves, you know, after the fact, to see what could have been done better. So this list, in no particular order, is just me and my reflections on my past experiences, and also people's experiences, you know, as to why people fail the technical interview. So in no particular order, like I said, let's just get started. Okay, so the first thing on my list is that you didn't prepare because you did not know how to. And you think this is one of those things like, duh, this doesn't make any sense. But this happens to a lot of people. And I have been a victim of this first point as well. Because sometimes the problem isn't that you don't want to prepare. The problem is that you don't know how to prepare or where to go to even get resources to prepare. And I sound like a broken record saying this again, but again and again, I will continue to say that, you know, networking groups are your friend. I don't know how many times I can say this, but if you're not part of a networking group and you're in the tech space, I think it's about time you made that a priority, especially in 2022. Okay, I said the government name for 2022, but yes, it's time to make that a priority, because they provide so much benefit. And there's so many networking groups out there. Some of them are race-based, some of them are gender-based, some of them are just interest-based. There's so many of them out there. So I am not understanding why you're not part of one if you're not, but it's not too late, right? And I think the reason why they're so beneficial for me, I'll give an example with myself. You know, when I was, you know, actively doing interviews and trying to find a full-time role after college, one of the benefits that I got from networking groups is that I attended a career fair that was hosted by that specific networking group. Another thing is, every single time I had a coding assessment or an interview, I could go on the Facebook group or whatever group that was, and I could search in the group the company's name and see what discussions people were having, you know, with the company's name in it. And most of them were about interviews anyways. And in those chats, you know, I could see people talking about the kind of questions these companies were asking. And these questions are stuff that you can also ask your recruiter anyways. But sometimes, you know, you get more details, in-depth details from your peers. So you can see them talking about the kind of questions, the kind of setup. Maybe they say, oh, they have a behavioral interview portion, and that's maybe 35 minutes or something. And they give all these details. And then also you can reach out to those people who were talking about this stuff and ask them, say, hey, I have an interview coming up. You know, this and this is my question, you know. And another thing that's beneficial is that you can actually post your questions, especially when it's recruiting season. Trust me, you're definitely not the only one that's interviewing at that company in that group, you know. And so you can post that question, and you can get somebody who recently interviewed or somebody who is working there, and you can ask them these questions and say, hey, how was your interview process? How long was it? You know, what kind of questions were you asked? And these things are so beneficial. This is how you prepare. Now, another resource that I stand behind is Glassdoor, you know, and it's just simply using Google. But Glassdoor is number one on this list, okay? And I say Glassdoor because during my interviews, you know, the times I was actively interviewing, I found so many helpful tips. Like, people will point to specific lead code questions that they were asked on interviews on Glassdoor. And people will say, oh, during my behavioral interview at so-so-and-so company, I was asked a question like, you know, tell me about a time where so-so-and-so happened or whatever happened. And trust me, I have met some of the questions that I saw on Glassdoor at interviews. That's really crazy. I had been using Glassdoor since way before. And so I ended up using it again, going on there and reading reviews from students and their experiences at interviews. And I met some of those same interview questions that were listed on there in interviews. So I cannot stress how important it is to utilize this resource, you know. And there's so many resources out there aside this. People go on YouTube and share their experiences, the kind of questions they were asked, the format of interviews, you know. So YouTube is also a very great resource. Another resource is Geeks for Geeks. I found so much information on there. Reddit is another good source. Aside that, if you're in groups, you see that people create subgroups even, and sometimes they even have like Discords, and they sometimes they have WhatsApp groups. And sometimes they even create like Messenger groups and Telegram groups. So it's just a matter of like getting out there, getting into groups and knowing what's out there. Because trust me, there's so much information out there. You're probably not the only person that has interviewed at that company. So what is the word I'm looking for? I'll cut this part out, definitely. Take advantage of the information that is available to you. And make sure that you're prepared, because there's no reason why you should go to your interview unprepared, okay? So number two on my list is that you neglected the theoretical aspect. Now, there are a lot of engineers who can code for you a linked list or an array list, or I don't know, they can code any implementation you give them, right? They can code any prompt you give them. They're so great. But then they cannot explain something like a class, or that is, you know, not true, but, and I hope it's not true, but I'm just giving an example. Sometimes we can't explain the theoretical aspects of things. Like when they ask us to explain a linked list without using, like, without coding it, we can't do it, right? When they ask us to talk about like something like encapsulation without coding it, we can't show it, right? And that is because during the time that we're preparing, we focus so much on lead code and HackerRank and all of these great, amazing things that we forget to go over these things. You need to be able to explain some of these concepts without coding them, right? Sometimes some of these interviewers or interviewers want you to talk about things. They don't necessarily want you to code them. So sometimes we neglect this part, and that comes out to be a bad mistake that, you know, is costly. So let's just make sure that during this, during the preparations, you know, we're already in next year. Make sure that when you're preparing for your interview, what I used to do is I used to have a PowerPoint made where I had all of these like really basic things like dot equals versus equals. I can't even think of some of them. I used to have, you know, arrays, classes, objects, you know, all of these abstractions, interfaces. You know, I write all of them down and like talk about what they are. And I would quickly just look over them, you know, at the end of my lead code, you know, thing. I would look over them really quickly to remind myself of how I would explain them if I went to an interview and I was asked about these things. And they were really, that was a really beneficial thing that I did. And I think that, you know, if you have no idea how to get started with this, you should do the same thing and you will find it really helpful. The next thing on my list is that you're not strong enough in algorithms and data structures. Let me tell you, I don't think that, you know, you should even get started, you know, doing lead code questions if you're not strong enough in algorithms and data structures. And I'm not saying it's not possible, I said, I don't think you should. And why I don't think you should is because lead code questions are so heavy on algorithms and data structures. And of course, interview questions are so heavy on algorithms and data structures. And I think you do yourself a disservice when you memorize, and I will talk about this in depth later, but people end up memorizing lead code questions instead of actually learning algorithms and data structures and utilizing those skills that they have learned to solve questions. You cannot possibly memorize all the lead code questions and all the hackerang. There's so many of them out there, right? So to make sure that you're good when you go to interviews and to make sure that you can answer most of the questions, because you can't answer all the questions, but to make sure that you can answer the lead code questions and even to make sure that you can understand concepts like bubble sort and insertion sort and all of these things, make sure that you're taking a lot of time and going over algorithms and data structures. Because I know a lot of us learned it in school and boot camps and stuff like that, but some of us did not pay attention. I was one of those people, so I had to take a lot of time and learn this. And I have an amazing resource that I over and over again recommend for this thing. I have so many resources that I have recommended, you know, and I'll go ahead and also, you know, put them in the description. But I really think that this is probably one of the most important parts of your interview prep. If it's not the most important, that's if it's not already the most important part, is studying algorithms and data structures like in depth. Don't even joke with it. Make sure that you know this like you know yourself, okay? And if you don't know yourself, then forget it. I don't know what I just said. But that is just that, okay? So the next item on my list is that you didn't prep enough for your behavioral interview. And this one is a painful one because, you know, imagine, you know, acing your technical interview. You solved all the questions they gave you. You wrote the code. You covered the edge cases. You did everything you were supposed to do. And then it gets to the part where they say, tell me about a time when so-and-so happened. And you're just like crickets, okay? You don't know what to say, or you're just, you know, like you're just all over the place and it's just bad. Imagine losing such great opportunity when you have done so great already in your technical interview just because you didn't prepare for your behavioral interview, when it's not so hard to do. I already did an episode where I spoke about how to prepare for this, the behavioral interview, and I even have an article on Medium on how to ace your behavioral interview. It's not hard to do. So I don't know why we neglect this part and let it cost us so much, you know? But what I will say is, follow the information that I have given, both in the episode that I'm talking about and in the Medium article. Make a list of all your experiences and make sure that you're going over these experiences every single night. It's a really quick thing. It takes like 10 minutes, 15 minutes max. But trust me, you will thank yourself for this when you go to that interview and there's that behavioral part, because behavioral interview portion, because you will know what to say. You will be ready. As they say, if you stay ready, then you don't have to get ready, okay? Okay, so the next thing on my list is that you memorized lead code solutions and you did not learn the techniques that you needed to learn to solve these problems. And this goes back to what I was saying about algorithms and data structures. As you keep on solving lead code questions, you will see that, you know, it gets harder and harder to understand some of these solutions. Even when you look at the solutions, it gets harder and harder to solve the questions. And even when you look at the solutions, it gets harder and harder to understand them if you do not know algorithms and data structures. And even when you know, some of these questions are absolutely crazy, right? So I can imagine wanting to understand these questions and then wanting to understand them enough to memorize them, to be able to explain them. Like, you just, that's just tiring. I don't know how anybody can memorize that many lead code questions to be able to, you know, pass an interview. That is absolutely crazy. If you want to get great at solving lead code questions, like I said before, make sure that you sharpen your algorithms and data structures. Make sure that you're learning concepts. Okay, make sure that you're learning concepts and techniques. Make sure you're not memorizing, because it only does you a disservice when you go to an interview and you can't remember what you memorized. Because trust me, that can happen sometimes. So make sure that you're learning techniques. And again, when you learn techniques and you learn ways to do things, whenever you're given a question, you can attempt it, right? You can solve it. You can use those same techniques again and try to figure out a solution. The whole point of all of this is to solve some problem that you're given. So if you have techniques in your toolbox, you can pull out of them and use them to attempt to solve these questions, you know, and that's better than memorizing an answer and standing in front of a board or sitting behind your laptop and trying to remember all of these things so you can regurgitate them on your computer or on the board or whatever it is. That's just not good. Okay. So let's not do that. The next step or the next point on my list is that you did not LEAP code enough. Okay. So I've been talking about, you know, focusing on LEAP code and neglecting, you know, theoretical part and all of these things. And then I'm talking about not LEAP coding enough, and it's like, how? Okay, but this is actually important. So in recent times, and I can't speak on before because I never did any interviews before, but in recent times, a lot of companies have been using LEAP code questions, type questions, okay? And a lot of companies have been doing coding assessments, which kind of most of them, if not all of them, have LEAP code question type set up. And I keep mentioning LEAP code, even though there's so many of them out there. There's HackerRank, Code Wars, all of them, and they're all amazing. I keep saying LEAP code because that's just easier for me to mention. But yes, so a lot of companies have LEAP code question type set up. And if you don't LEAP code enough, trust me, you will not be prepared, because if you can have all the algorithms and data structure skills, you can have all the techniques, but you need to work on these things. You need to put them to use. You need to, you know, put your skills to use on some questions. You need to practice. You need to practice. You need to practice. Some people are LEAP coding legit like 8 hours a day. I don't recommend you do that. I don't think if that was me, I would have the mental capacity to do that. But I think you should at least do some LEAP code questions in a day. You shouldn't wait to the night before your interview to do this. You shouldn't wait to the night before you get an opportunity to do a coding assessment to do this. I think as early as you can, you know, you should start doing at least maybe 2 or 3 LEAP code questions a day. That way, when recruiting season comes around, you already have a routine going and you've already covered a lot of questions. You've built, you know, a lot of like strength as far as like solving problems go. You have a lot of techniques that you've learned and you know a lot of stuff. This will only help you, right? So don't sit around and wait until the night before your interview to start, you know, looking at LEAP code, because a lot of companies do ask questions that mimic these LEAP code questions. And some of them are even the same. I have gone to an interview where I got asked a LEAP code question that I had solved. Okay, so yes, this is how serious it can be. The next thing on my list is that you didn't do mock interviews. And mock interviews are really great, especially if you have like something like interview anxiety. And even if you don't have interview anxiety, mock interviews are great because you can get to see the kind of questions that these companies are asking. You can get to do a kind of like realistic interview before your real interview, right? And there's so many platforms out there that you can put to use. I think Pramp is one of them. There's so many of them out there. And another way to get mock interviews for free is, yes, your networking groups. There's so many people in there who are willing to, you know, do mock interviews with you because they want the experience, you want the experience, they interview you, you interview them, you know, and that is such a great way to prepare, you know, because you get to, you know, you get somebody who will tell you, hey, you did this wrong, or answer this question this way or something like that. You get feedback, okay? Instead of just, you know, going and sitting in front of somebody for the first time and then you're shaking or whatever, or like, I think there's power in sharing ideas and there's power in like working with your peers. So even if you're not up for like doing this with a real life professional, you can still do mock interviews with your friends. So I think this is a great way to prepare, especially if you have, interview anxiety, which is something I will talk about later. But the next thing on my list is that you didn't know how to explain technical problems in a non-technical way. So I had an interview at one of these fan companies some time ago in 2019, and I was asked to explain, I think the Fibonacci sequence or something of that sort, how I would explain it to my grandmother, who is not techie and has no idea and have no idea what the Fibonacci sequence is. I don't think it was a Fibonacci sequence, but it was something like that. And I had to take a deep breath, okay, because I was used to explaining this in a very technical way. I could definitely code whatever they were asking me to explain, but this was over the phone. They didn't want me to code it, and they didn't want me to walk them through how I would code it. They wanted me to explain it to my grandmother, who had no idea what that was, right? And sometimes we are caught off guard with these type of questions. Your interviewer does not care if you know how to explain it in a technical way, because they kind of already know that you can do that. They just want you to explain it to a third grader or to somebody who is not techie. You know, they want to know and understand that you know what you're talking about. And sometimes we don't prepare for this. This is a mistake that you're making, you know. So whenever you're going over your theoretical aspect, you know, even when you're going through your algorithms and your data structures, try to think of real world example of these things, right? So, I remember when I was learning cues, I used like real world cues to learn this, right? And like whenever I was learning Stack, I did the same thing, you know? And that is because even for yourself, it's easier to understand when you give yourself real world examples. And yes, you can definitely go to an interview and they ask you to explain this in a non-techie way. And if they do, you already got it, you know, because you have been doing this even with your own self to help yourself understand some of these concepts. You know, so I think that you should also do this to help in your interviews. It will help you. I have come across something like this, you know, and I don't know if I passed it or not, but I did pass that round of that interview, but it could go wrong. You understand what I'm saying? So yes. The next thing on our list is that you didn't ask your interviewer questions and you didn't go over edge cases. This is so, so painful. And I have heard so many people talking about this. You know, some people feel like if they ask the interviewer questions, like after the interview, especially in person, right? Or even when you're doing these coding things online, they feel like, you know, after they see the question, if they ask the interviewers question, then it kind of gets points taken away. But that's not true. You know, your interviewer is not there to like just watch you do something. Most of them are just there to help you through the problem if you want the help, right? I don't think any interviewer will count it against you if you ask a question. I mean, you're not asking them for the answer. You're just making sure that you cover the edge cases, which is important, right? Imagine getting a solution that you feel like does the job and you don't get the edge cases, like you leave those out. I remember when I used to do lead code questions, sometimes there'll be those questions that you solve and you pass some of the test cases and you don't pass some of them. And those were like the edge case portions of them that you didn't treat, and so you don't get those test cases right. And that taught me these lessons. Like, you have to make sure that you're asking, you know, the interviewer questions. Definitely you want to make sure that you're reading the question and rereading it again, but do ask your interviewer questions. They're there to help you through your interview. They shouldn't count it against you if you don't understand what is going on and you ask questions. You should ask them questions. You should, please. Ask them questions. Don't just assume things and don't go solve the question and solve it wrong when you could have avoided all of that with a simple question. The last thing on my list is you probably didn't do well because you have interview anxiety. And this is not anything that you can control. Okay, this is not something that you can control. I myself have it. Before interviews, I can barely sleep. I am so nervous. And even in the mornings when I wake up, that's why I've said before in this podcast, I don't like interviews that are in like the evening or the afternoon. Give it to me in the morning because I barely slept. Okay, and I cannot sit still. I can't pay attention. just let me get it done and over with so I can get some sleep, okay? Because my palms get sweaty. I can't think. I studied the whole night. I studied the whole morning. And it's just crazy, right? And sometimes some people have it worse. They can't pay attention. They forget everything they've learned. And it's not your fault that it is that way, right? It's not your fault, you know? And so you shouldn't hold it against it. You know, you shouldn't hold it against yourself. Even with any of these points that I've been talking about, you shouldn't hold it against yourself. There are better opportunities out there that you will be getting, okay? So just prepare, get better, and things will definitely get better, right? If you have interview anxiety, what I found that worked for me was like practicing over and over again, and over and over again, telling myself that this is not the end all for me. Like this opportunity, if I don't get it, I will live to see another day, and I will get other opportunities. Like reminding myself this over and over and over again, because it is true. Even if you don't get this opportunity, you get another one. Okay, this is not the last opportunity that you're gonna get for the rest of your life. It hurts like crazy, but trust me, you'll get another opportunity. And also, if you have interview anxiety, please put a lot of time into doing mock interviews to build your confidence, to help you to breathe during interviews. They can be such great help. And also do prepare extra, okay? So that when you go, you're not as nervous and you're not having this huge anxiety, you know? So this is my list. I hope you guys found one or two points useful. Please share it with anybody that you know that will find this information helpful. Also, do check me out on Medium. The link will be in the description. Thank you guys so much. Happy New Year once again. And thank you for joining me today.